This is Jay Nebro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 644. With some thoughts, some ideas, some solutions, I hope, to the problem of child-centeredness. I think I talked about, you know, I'm not sure if I talked about this or if it was in one of the podcasts I had, episodes I had to dump. The real answer to all this stuff, I'll have to be honest, lies with parents. Number one, parents need to be less childish. Everybody needs to do a better job of becoming fully realized adults. There are so many people who are over the age of 18 and have not died yet who still behave like children. So the first thing one needs to do is stop behaving like children. Let me give you a few ideas, a few thoughts about how one can do this. Number one, something that might really help change the way you are is to curtail your consumption of media. I guess the most pervasive one right now is television. And videos too, I guess. See, and I haven't had a TV in probably almost 12 years. I haven't watched television except just little snippets here and there. Certainly is not even 1% of my time is spent watching television, because I just don't have it at home. Now, when it comes to videos, I have to say that I probably spend too much time watching videos, and I consider that a waste of time in a lot of ways. I do it to please my wife, and I don't know, it gives my children something to do so they're not bored. And that's sad. I wish things were better than that. But first thing you do is curtail your exposure to media. You know, this, you know, anything that you did a lot as a child or wanted to do a lot as a child ends up being somewhat childish by its nature. You know, and that's, and honestly, that just ends up kind of being reality, you know. When I was a child, I acted like a child, I thought like a child, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing wildly, that's actually biblical, you know. You know, but when you become adult, you put away childish things. And more we don't do that. When you reduce your exposure to media, there's so many childish things that you don't get sucked into. Unfortunately, the internet has been morphed into being something of a childish thing. It's adults tend to do things purposeful for progression, for moving ahead. You know, and you can say, well, I don't see very many adults doing that. And they go, yes, but you have to look back. Are they behaving in a childish way? And if your answer is yes, then you've realized something. Just because somebody's over the age of 18 doesn't all of a sudden endow what they do with great purpose and adultness. Just because you're 18 doesn't turn all of your actions into adult actions. You know, many 18-year-olds still behave like children. Anyway, so there's one thing. Curtail your exposure to media. not saying that media is bad. I'm saying that much of what is part of media panders toward basic childishness. And just as a general default, just as a general thing to do, it's always good to curtail your exposure to childish things. So don't do it. Media is a wonderful tool for many needs. The second idea I want to put in your head is that you should spend more of your time being a producer than a consumer. Children consume a lot more than they produce. We expect that of children. Now, once they grow older, we expect them to be more productive. I mean, we tend to make that kind of a low statement by telling them they need to go out and get a job and do things like that, you know. Even though most jobs aren't very productive either. They're mostly there to provide services for people to people, which isn't particularly productive. But that's okay. And I mean productive by being creative, creating things. Be more creative, productive, than you are consumptive. Just taking stuff in and consuming it. People who go out and get jobs so they can have money and then spend all that money on just little trinkets and doodads and things to try to appease some kind of childish need in them, you know. I'm going to have a big car because I always wanted a big car as a child. You know, I always felt like as a child I was such a loser because my parents drove around in a Yugo. So I'm going to have a big SUV because that makes me feel big. It makes me feel important. And you're going, you know what, that's childish. You know, do you have a truck but you don't need one? That tends to be a weird cultural thing about my area, about my region. You know, a lot of people have trucks. And it really becomes, why do you have a truck? You know, they... And the funny thing is, they get upset when you put anything in the back of their truck because it'll scratch up the bed of the truck. And it's like, what? That's what a truck is for. A truck is designed for carrying things in the back. When you don't carry things in the back, why do you have a truck? They don't get as good gas mileage as a car. They don't, you know, they can't carry as many people as a car can carry. A truck's good as a utility vehicle because it can haul things and, you know, it's built more for towing and things like that. But if you never put anything in the back, and if you never tow it, why do you have this? And you go, because it's just a childish, oh boy, I want a truck. You know, it's almost like my kids when they say, I want to be a police officer because that's one of the things that they get foisted on them at school, you know, is the ultimate coolness of being a fireman, being a policeman, being somebody like that, or a teacher. And you're kind of going, you know, what? Is that all the creativity you have? Is that all, you know, that's childish. I'm not saying those who ultimately do those jobs are doing it because they're childish. Some are, and some do. I'm not saying that you know, you can give everybody a pass. But, you know, if you continue just trying to get the kinds of things that interested you as a child, you're going to remain a child for a very long time. You know, you're not putting away childish things. Okay, so, be more productive than you are consumptive. Kids consume. Kids consume. Adults tend to be productive, and they have to be. Otherwise, you know, families suffer. Of course, we see that so often that you almost say, well, you know, that's got to be true. We have too many adults that have children that are basically just very old children themselves. Okay. So those are two things that apply specifically to how adults need to be behaving, some ideas of what adults need to do. Let me talk a little bit about how we train up future generations. This is really, really, really important. And, you know, and if you do the whole childhood worship as an adult, your kids get destroyed really readily. Because, you know, why on earth would a child ever want to change when they're God right now? Everything is provided for them. It's almost like they're some kind of a king. You're their cook. You're their washerwoman. You're their butler. You're their chauffeur. You're their slave. You slave and slave and slave. You know, sometimes adults get grumpy and start saying, Lee, you gotta pitch in. But, you know, kids have manipulation techniques to make sure they have to do as little of that as possible. And, you know, adults get tired when things don't get done that they feel like need to get done, so they just end up doing them. And that's wrong. Okay, so, there's the first thing. Don't do for a child what they can do for themselves. Even if it's neat and fun and amazing, that's not to say that you don't need to spend time with your kids. I don't know if that got into a podcast. I'll have to make sure it is, because it's a real positive, really wonderful thing. Get your kids to be involved in the things that you find fun, the things that you find interesting, the things that you do. You want that to be the things they do. Don't spend your adult life catering to your children's desires. Dad, I really want to go out and do this. By and large, it's going to be something that they're not very attached to. Let me give you a for instance. Kid gets kind of a hankering to be a violinist. I don't know how you say that word. I'm sure there's a much better way of saying a person who plays a violin. You know, school encourages this perhaps. Who knows? And that's fine. Nobody's saying that that's bad. Now, you know, the normal track is, and society and other adults will make your life miserable if you're not catering to that need. You know, it's not evil, therefore, you better do it. So you spend hundreds of dollars getting them a violin. You spend hundreds more getting them violin lessons. By and large, this was a childish want of your children. You know, at some point they may decide that they don't want to be a violinist. In fact, the grand majority of them do. There becomes conflict and fighting, parents actually forcing their child to do their violin lessons to try to justify the cost of, like, the violin, for instance. Of course, then the kid, if they've got any kind of backbone at all, will start getting spiteful and mean and tear up their violin just to thumb their nose at their parents. And you get all these weird issues coming up, you know. That's where teenage rebellion comes from. Is because parents are alternating between foisting things on their kids, probably that they wish they would have had as children, which is kind of childish. And and then coddling and giving their children whatever their children want. Parents, by and large, in this culture, vacillate strongly between those two. Number one, don't give a kid something that they can get for themselves. Number two, don't go crazy trying to encourage something that is really not... what am I trying to say? Not up their alley? That kid doesn't want to pursue. There's a difference between helping a child get piano lessons that they really want, knowing that at some point, or guessing that at some point, that will cease to be interesting after a time, and that child will want to explore something else instead. That's fine. I think in my mind about those five brown people. You know, those kids that are just absolute piano virtuosos. They all went to Juilliard, which is an absolute, it's never happened before. You know, I'm not saying to curtail that kind of thing. Introduce kids to it, and when they catch hold of it and they want to keep doing it, they find the way to make these things happen. They find a way to get a piano so that they can spend more time practicing. If this is really what they catch on to and they want, they will provide the way. You don't have to do all the work, because we get too confused too much, right? We think that child's interest will never come to pass unless we do all the work. We figure it out for them. We force it on them. And we have to browbeat and whip them to get them to do anything good. And that's not true. That isn't the nature of people. Kids only start behaving that way because of what we do to them. So don't do that. Okay, so that's the first thing you can do. Don't coddle your kids. Don't get your kids expensive toys just because they want them. Don't let them have particularly what they want. Give them opportunities to get these things, you know. Don't give them an allowance for free. Pay them for the work that they do if you want to do that. I didn't ever have any money, so it was never really a question of giving it to them. It became, you know, it's a responsibility. You do these things. Now, mine are really easy. It usually has to do with dishes. It has to do with laundry, you know, and that's really easy too. You know, let natural consequences come. Is that a third one? I think that's a good one. Make sure kids are faced with natural consequences. Don't, like I said, don't coddle your kids. That's another facet of not coddling your kids, is letting natural consequences come to pass. So let me give you an example of that. If a kid doesn't do their laundry, they have big piles of smelly clothes. You know, when they go out in public, they're going to take a lot of grief. You know, I don't want to be around you. You smell bad. Ugh. Then they will want to do their laundry themselves for the simple reason that they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to have people call them names. That's why adults do what they do. Well, in some ways. Hopefully we get beyond that. But that's where it begins, right? No, natural consequence. If you don't wash your clothes, you'll have a lot of really rotten smelling clothes. And stuff like that. If you tear up your clothes, you know, your clothes won't be there when you need them. You will look hokey. You will get picked on. That's, I have to say that when I think about school, that's really the only positive aspect I see in school, is that it is a wonderful opportunity for kids to get picked on for not doing what our society really demands us to do. So, in that way, I have a good attitude about school there. I don't think much is learned. I don't think that ends up being really very important. What is that? It almost looks like a really badly constructed solar collector, because if that is a solar collector, it's facing the wrong way. That's not even good for other things. Wow. That is an interesting... That's an interesting looking thing. I wonder what that is. I should go and ask those people what that is. Because it looks cool. It looks like the world's biggest solar collector. I like that. Woohoo! Anyway, so. That's another thing you can do for your kids. You know, don't call them, don't give them stuff. If you're going into debt to get your kids things, that's a mistake. Don't ever do that. Get them into the position that they can do for themselves. If they need money, help them find opportunities to get money. You know. Now, the next thing you'll have to do is you almost have to kind of tell them to kind of back off the money-making, because they can very easily and very quickly become obsessed with making money. But that's the most important thing, because society teaches them that. And you need to be careful that they don't get weird about that. You might want to talk to them about that and say, you know what, is it that making money isn't what life's all about. You certainly need some. But don't make it the centerpiece of your life. You know, you'll find out that that doesn't bring you much pleasure when it gets right down to it. Of course, I think having to fight through that problem is preferable than trying to deal with a bunch of spoiled, rebellious, nasty, evil kids. Because what that does is that puts the onus on the child all the time. And they're going to have some problems with it, especially when they see other kids who just get what they want for nothing, you know. Oh boy, they got a brand new car from their parents, and they don't do diddly for it. My parents are schmucks. I hate my parents, because they aren't kissing my butt and giving me everything I want. But that's okay, you know. Those other kids having certain things kind of gives them an impetus that if they want those kind of things, they're gonna get creative. They're gonna get productive in trying to find ways to make this happen for them, you know. And isn't that a wonderful spending of time? Much better than lazing around watching television. Is how are you going to make this stuff happen? I'll be really honest. I experimented on my daughter Shayna, and I'm not saying I did an excellent job. I'm not saying I did a good job, particularly. I try out some new things on her, and she's a good kid. She's a good kid. I don't know if it was just my children, but I don't have a lot of rebelliousness from them. I don't seem to get a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff like that. I give my children a large degree of latitude in the things that they can do. They've turned out to be very nice people, very generous people. I don't know if it was if it had anything to do with what Lisa or I did, particularly. We certainly talk about God a lot. We talk about the things that we should be doing, the kind of attitudes we should have. But about Shayna, I wasn't giving her. I mean, it came right off the top. One of the first decisions that Lisa and I made was that we weren't going to have enough money for them to go to college on our nickel. That wasn't going to be a reality. What Shayna's doing right now, partially, which is the Utah Conservation Corps, AmeriCorps stuff, basically doing work for government, is they give her an educational stipend along with all this labor she's doing. You know, part of it she gets paid money, and the other part she gets some educational benefits from it. And that's how she intends on going to college. She's going to college, taking classes, and then, you know, and when she needs money, she's going to take the time off to go off and do this educational stuff. I mean, this AmeriCorps work. It's out there. It's available. It's pretty easy to get. Is it hard labor? Yeah. It's usually stuff that you can't pay people to do, or there's just no money to pay people to do it. So the government ends up doing it, but the government gets kids to do it. Well, young people, sorry. And that's going to make it so she can go to college. Because she wants to. And I tell my kids, you know, your life will be better if you go to college. I don't care what you really go into particularly. Life just goes there. There's more opportunities for people who've gone to college. More than for people who didn't. You know, it's just honest. So, you know, you can debate all day long whether that's a good thing or not. But it's just a truism of our society and our world right now. There's more opportunities for people who go to college. So I encourage it. But I also say I'm not paying for it. If you can get grants from the government, if you can get scholarships, go for it. Go for it. And go to college that way. That sounds great to me. You know, am I going to pay for your housing? No. Now, I do have the 1927 rule. This was something that Lisa and I came up with over a short period of time. It had to do with the fact that our oldest daughter, Shayna, would look at her younger brother, Matt, the slightly younger brother. He's autistic, and he's not going anywhere. He's not going to college, and he's not going to, you know, and he's, I don't conceive that he's actually going to end up having much of a job, if he has a job at all. You know, he is a disabled person. Our society chooses to pay disabled people a stipend of like, you know, $650 a month. And so we came up with the 1927 rule to handle things like food and lodging, the basics of life. If all else fails, there's always the 1927 rule. And this is what it is. Up until the time a child is 19 years old, now this takes into account going on a mission, for instance. You know, my sons, who I am going to encourage strongly that they go on missions, I expect them to make enough money to pull this off. I will contribute to a mission, but I won't be contributing to college. Most boys go on their missions at 19. Girls go later, 21 or older. Most boys go at 19. So that's where the 19 of the 1927 rule came in. You'll have free room and board up until the time that you're 19. Once you turn 19, you have to start paying for your food. We will still let you stay in our house for free, but you'll have to start paying for your share of the food. I don't know how we're going to work that out exactly. But there it is, you know. And plus, you don't get things cooked for you. If you do, boy, your charge for board goes up. You know, especially if it's, you know, it essentially ends up becoming like a boarding house. over time. More and more often it becomes like a boarding house. If you're staying here, you're contributing to the food. Okay, once you turn 27, now this is for the kids who want to go to college. There is a small community college in Tucumcari, so our kids could go and could go to school at Mesa Lands Community College. Now, Lisa and I picked 27 because that should be a reasonable amount of time, even given a mission in there and even given several opportunities to go explore and do interesting things, for somebody to have earned the basic degree, a bachelor's degree. That should give plenty of time. That's nearly 9 years. You know, if you go straight through, it would take you 4. And I always tell them stories about how, about the work I did, and the things I had to do to make money so that I could go to college. I finished up college in 5 years. Probably 6. You know, but then again, I took nearly a year off to go and do a child development center. Tried to. Did all the groundwork, got it all started, and then I ran out of money, and somebody else got it and took it and ran with it. And it was wonderful. I'm sure it was a wonderful blessing for them to be able to have all that. So 27 is enough time. If you're still at home and you reach the age of 27, we will provide room and board for you. No. You will have to start paying rent. And I don't intend for the rent to be very inexpensive, especially when it's coupled with board. You have to pay for both. And we will come up with a piece of money. And it's not going, and I don't intend for them to try to, I don't intend to make it difficult by saying, okay, here's the refrigerator, here's their stuff, and fighting about whose stuff is whose. That's not true. When you're 19, you will pay for board. And we will determine the cost of it. If you don't like the cost, you can leave. It's that simple. At 27, you will have to pay for room and board. And we will set that price. And if you don't like the price, it's done. There will be no room without board. That's just the way it is. It's room and board. It's either board and room and board. That's the 1927 rule. And all of our kids know this. We talk about it on occasion, especially when somebody's getting close to that time. You know, Shana's just about ready to turn 18, and pretty soon she will be in that position. You know? So there's that. And these are just some things that we've done. You know, I can't say I'm any kind of expert at all. I can only share with you some of the things that I did. My biggest thing was that, you know, there were several things. I remember when Shana was about 12 or 13, she was concerned because she didn't have any people her age particularly that she liked, that she wanted to be friends with. So I kind of set her up with a lady who was at the time about 78. And they started having a great time. They loved being around each other. They loved, Shana, when she had spare time, she would go over to this lady's house. And, you know, Shana would help her with stuff, but they would just do things sometimes. Go watch videos, whatever. And, you know, just being around somebody of that advanced experience, all the things that she had done, all the stories she had to tell, just amazing. Made Shana want to be an adult. And that's one of the other things, you know. I don't know if I got down to talking about it before, but it's so important I want to almost put it in its own thing. About really rubbing children's noses in the joys of adulthood that they don't get. That they don't get. I think I'm going to put this to the next one. These are some good starting ones. Let's talk about next time about how to encourage children to be adults by rubbing their nose in adultness. that they don't get to have yet. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 644. If you want to contact me, feel free. I hope you don't mind that these sessions are really quite disjointed. You have to understand, I'm driving in a car. I do not have a script in front of me. I don't even have notes in front of me. I'm just speaking off the top of my head. And so I apologize if you say, well, I don't want this guy to speak. He's kind of disjointed. He doesn't make a lot of sense. And you really have to work hard to try and get to what he's trying to say. And you go, well, you have to understand, if I come and speak to you, it's going to be much more settled, much more down. I speak quite often. And everybody says, well, that was really good, you know. Or at least that's the feedback I get. I know people are being nice, and I appreciate that. But there are, hopefully some of them are being honest when they say that it was good, and it was worthwhile, and they enjoyed it. Anyway, if you want to contact me, the email address is autism@quix.us. If you want me to come speak to a group, you know, if you want me to do anything at all, make a presentation, whatever you need, please contact me by phone at country code 1, area code 575, exchange 461, and my phone number is 2716. That's 1-575-461-2716. Thanks a lot for listening. And this is The Life Autistic. Where's my pointer? There it is. Have a great day.